This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين أما بعد. So after praising Allah Azza wa Jal and sending peace and blessings and salutations upon His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then I want to welcome you all back to the resumption of Friday night reflections. I'm going to come to the topic for today. So this is a topic that I have wanted to speak about for quite some time. And actually, I would like to do a full dawra ilmiya, a full workshop, maybe a two-day workshop on this topic in the future. But for now, we will suffice ourselves with just tonight, inshaAllah ta'ala, as an introduction. And the topic that we're going to talk about, inshaAllah ta'ala, is the topic of al-ru'a wal-ahlam wal-manamat, dreams. And the topic of interpreting dreams, what we call ta'bir al-ru'a or ta'wil al-ru'a, interpreting dreams. Now, as you know, for Friday night reflections, we do a different topic every week. So this topic will not continue with us beyond this week, but inshallah ta'ala, we will try tonight to just introduce the topic. Now, before I begin introducing the topic, I want to make two disclaimers. The first one is, this is a big topic and we're only going to scratch the surface, okay? We're not going to be able to cover every single point on this and we're not going to go into massive amounts of detail. The second disclaimer is that I am not a person who interprets dreams. And what I'm going to teach you here today is not from a person who interprets dreams. The purpose of this lesson today is to understand how dreams are important or why dreams are important in Islam and how people interpret dreams. The purpose is not for us to leave today and interpret dreams as we want, as we're going to hear. This is a serious issue in Islam. We're not going to just go home and be able to interpret all of our dreams and interpret the dreams of our friends. The purpose is to take the usul, the fundamental principles, the basics, the framework of what dreams are, why we should be concerned about dreams, and how we can learn some of the etiquettes of dreams and dream interpretation. And really, you might hear some of the scholars of Islam say that dream interpretation is a gift from Allah. Hibatun min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is true. However, there is a part of it that you can learn. There is a part of it that is a gift from Allah, and there is a part of it that you can learn. You can learn the usul, the basic principles. You can learn the qawa'id, the rules. You can learn how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba used to interpret dreams. You can learn some of the famous dream interpretations. What is beyond that is a gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. He gives it to whoever He wants. Some of the people He gives it to and some of the people He doesn't give it to. However, the basics, the basic framework, the basic principles and the basic science, you can learn it regardless of whether you have been given this gift from Allah Azza wa Jal or not. And you can learn it like you can learn any other science in Islam, like you can learn tafsir, like you can learn fiqh, like you can learn hadith. You can also learn the basics of dream interpretation, but that will only get you so far. There is a portion of dream interpretation that is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives it to whoever He wants from His servants. and they are very few and far between. But we can also learn what their characteristics are, because they have characteristics. So if we learn this, then we can learn what sort of person is often given this gift by Allah Azza wa Jal. So inshallah, we can cover some things, but we will not cover everything. And we're going to focus upon the basic and the most fundamental principles, inshallah ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith narrated by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Al-Imam Malik in his Muwatta and others, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ النُّبُوَّةِ إِلَّا الْمُبَشِّرَاتِ. He said, nothing remains of prophethood except for المبشرات. المبشرات, it comes from the word bushra, glad tidings. Yani something like good news, something to make you happy. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, nothing is left. لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ النُّبُوَّةِ. Nothing is left from prophethood. The last prophet is our messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no prophet after him. Nobody else inherited nubuwa from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody else inherited prophethood. Prophethood finished with the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there is one part of prophethood that remains. There is one part of prophethood that remains, and it can be given to some of the people. And it is what is called al-mubashirat, the messages of good, the glad tidings, the bushra. They asked in some narrations, O Messenger of Allah, what are al-mubashirat? What are these glad tidings? The Prophet ﷺ said, الرؤيا الصالحة يراها المسلم أو ترى له. A true dream or a good dream that a Muslim sees or someone sees about him. A good dream that a Muslim sees, and you see it in your own sleep, or someone else sees it about you. And this is the only thing which is left of prophethood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, when his prophethood began, it began through dreams. In the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim and others, that she radiallahu anha said, أول ما بدأ به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الوحي الرؤيا الصادقة في النوم فكان لا يرى رؤيا إلا جاءت مثل فلق الصبح. She said, the first kind of revelation that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم received were true dreams during his sleep. And he used to see true dreams. He would not have a dream except that it would come clear like the morning comes. مِثْلَ فَلَقِ الصُّبْحِ. Like the rising of the daybreak, like the morning comes, then the Prophet ﷺ would see a dream and it would happen. He would see a dream and it would happen. He would see a dream and it would happen. And it is narrated that this continued for 6 months before Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before Iqra, Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq. For 6 months, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to see dreams, and every single dream that he would see, it would come true like the rising of the sun in the morning. And just like the sun rises in the morning, the dream would come true. And that gives us an indication of how true dreams are a part of prophethood. Because one of the ways that the prophets would receive wahi was through dreams. But we need to be clear that the Quran was never revealed via a dream. No ayah of the Quran was revealed through a dream. No ayah of the Quran was revealed through a dream. However, there were elements of Islam that were revealed through dreams. And we know that the dreams of the prophets are true. Ru'ya al-anbiya'i haqq. The dreams that the prophets see are true. And we're going to look at some examples of this from the Quran. But continuing on this topic of dreams being a part of prophethood, we come to a hadith, and this hadith, for a lot of the scholars, this hadith is min mushkil al-athar. It's from the confusing ahadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as narrated by Anas, and Abu Sa'id, and Abu Hurairah, and others. Anas, Abu Sa'id, and Abu Hurairah. الرؤيا الصالحة الحسنة من الرجل الصالح المؤمن جزء من 46 جزءا من النبوة. Pay attention. A good dream of a believer, a true dream, is one of 46 parts of prophethood. Any prophethood that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one part out of 46 was a true dream. Then you have the hadith of Abu Hurairah, and most of these ahadith, if not all of them, are in Sahih Muslim and some of them in Sahih al-Bukhari. رُؤِيَا الْمُؤْمِنِ جُزْءٌ مِنْ 45 جُزْءًا مِنَ النُّبُوَّةِ. A true dream, a believer's dream, is one of 45. What did we have before? 46. Now 45 parts of prophethood. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma narrated that the Prophet ﷺ said, الرؤيا الصالحة جزء من 25 جزءا من النبوة. A true dream is one of 25 parts of prophethood. Okay, now we have a mushkil. 45, 46, 25. But it did not stop there. Ibn Umar and Abu Sa'id and Ibn Abbas narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, الرؤيا الصالحة جزء من 70 جزءا من النبوة. A true dream is one of 70 parts of prophethood. So now we have 70, and we have 46, and we have 45, and we have 25. So which one of them is true? Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari mentioned that the number of narrations reaches 10, and there are 10 different numbers mentioned of the parts of an-Nubuwwah. Some of them are not as strong as others. But Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar said, this hadith has been narrated in 10 different ways. So which one of them is true? The scholars have some different opinions regarding this. Some of the scholars came and they said, these ahadith are muttariba. They are shaky. There are too much contradictions, and 46, 45, 25, 70, we don't, just leave it. Some of the scholars, among them Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, I do not see a contradiction in that the various narrations differ regarding the number of parts of prophethood in a dream. A good dream by some individuals could be one of 46, or less or more, depending on the qualities of the dreamer. Okay, so Ibn Abdul Barr, how did he divide this? By the qualities of the dreamer. And the more pious the dreamer is, the closer you get towards prophethood. And some of the scholars said the more truthful the dreamer is, the closer you get towards prophethood. So we know that the ru'ya of the Anbiya, the dreams of the prophets, they are haq, they are true. Okay? So the Prophet ﷺ's dream is 100% true. Yani 100 out of 100, 10 out of 10, 1 out of 1, yani complete true. Then some of the scholars said the dreams of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, because the most knowledgeable of the people in interpreting dreams after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Because dreams come with truthfulness, as we're going to hear, and there are ahadith in this regard, that dreams come according to the truthfulness of the person, the sidq of the person. And the most truthful of this ummah, asdaqul ummah, after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is who? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So with regard to Abu Bakr, for example, then his dreams were 1 out of 25. For example, this is the opinion of Ibn Abdul Barr. With regard to Abu Bakr, the dreams are 1 out of 25. With regard to the regular believers, yani the sabiqun, you know, the very righteous believers, but they are not like, they are not like Sahaba, but the scholars of Islam and the noble people, so theirs is 1 out of 46. And with regard to the average believer, 1 out of 70. And so on and so forth. So according to Ibn Abdul Barr, the more righteous the person is, the closer the dream gets towards prophethood. The most you can get is 1 out of 25. The most that you can get is 1 out of 25. You can't get closer than that. 1 out of 25 is the most you can get, and 1 out of 70 is the least that you can get for a Muslim. Because all of these relate to Muslims, because only a Muslim can be given a portion of prophethood. A portion of prophethood cannot be given to a non-Muslim. And that's why in these ahadith, all of them mention a dream that a righteous person sees. All of them mention a dream that a righteous person sees, a Muslim sees, not a dream that a non-Muslim sees. A dream that a non-Muslim sees can be true. It can be true. But it is not a part of nubuwa. It's not a part of prophethood. So the believers, the Muslims, are between 25 and 70. 1 out of 25 to 1 out of 70. But this is not the only opinion. Some of the other scholars, they had a different opinion. They said, we differ in how we interpret the dreams. So the opinion of Ibn Abdul Barr is relating to what? Relating to the person who sees the dream. The opinion of the other scholars is that it relates not to the person who sees the dream, but to the person who interprets the dream. And that the person who interprets the dream will get a portion right and a portion wrong, according to how gifted they are in dream interpretation and how knowledgeable they are about the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for example, Abu Bakr, when he interpreted a dream in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to him? Asabta ba'dan. You got some of it right and some of it wrong. And Abu Bakr interpreted a dream in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, O Messenger of Allah, allow me to interpret it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, interpret it. So he interpreted it. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, أَصَبْتَ بَعْضًا. You got some of it right, and you got some of it wrong. So some of the scholars said, The meaning of this is that nobody gets a dream interpretation 100% except the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani you can get the clue, you can get the general gist, but all of the meanings, all of the signs, all of the details, all of the, you know, the full story, you don't get all of it. You only get part of it. And that according to how knowledgeable you are about the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and according to how strong the gift of dream interpretation is with you, you will either get 1 out of 25 portions of prophethood, or 1 out of 45, or 1 out of 46, or 1 out of 70. And so what we say about this hadith is it either refers to the person who sees the dream, or the person who interprets the dream. And in reality, there's no reason why it can't apply to both. The person who sees the dream, the more pious they are, the more righteous they are, the closer they will get towards seeing more. They will never have the dreams of the prophets. They will never have wahi. They will never have revelation from Allah. But they will have 1/25th or 1/45th or 1/46th or 1/70th, according to how righteous they are. Or according to how they are interpreted. They will either be interpreted to such an amazing level that it represents 1/25th of Nubuwwah, or to such a level that that represents 1/45th or 1/46th or 1/70th. So this inshaAllah ta'ala clarifies this hadith, and this hadith is an important hadith. In fact, this concept is alluded to also in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jal told us in Surah Yunus, لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. They have glad tidings in this world and in the next. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained what the glad tidings are in this world. He said, هِيَ الرُّؤْيَا الصَّالِحَةُ يَرَاهَا الْمُؤْمِنُ أَوْ تُرَى لَهُ. It is a true dream that a believer sees or that is seen for him. So this inshallah gives us an introduction to the, you know, somewhat about the importance of the topic. Continuing on from there, there are a number of points that we need to address, but I think one of the most important of these points is dividing dreams up into types. The Prophet ﷺ described for us three types of dreams. The first type of dream is a true dream. Or you can say a good dream. And this dream is from Allah. The second kind of dream is a bad dream or a nightmare. And this is from the shaitan. And the third kind of dream is a confused dream which comes from the self, what they call adghathu ahlam. Yani it's like a mix-up that comes from your own self. So how do we know, or how can we divide up these dreams so that we know which dreams come from Allah and which dreams come from the shaitan and which dreams come from the self? So there are a number of sort of guidelines that we can cover as to which of these dreams come from Allah and which of these dreams come from the shaitan and which of these dreams come from ourselves. However, before that, it's worth mentioning the tafsir of Ali ibn Abi Talib. And I think this is very, very interesting. It is the tafsir of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal. الله يتوفى الأنفس حين موتها والتي لم تمت في منامها فيمسك التي قضى عليها الموت ويرسل الأخرى إلى أجل مسمى إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. الله عز وجل causes the souls to die. Al-wafa is not actually death. And we're going to get off into a side topic, but it's important to understand. First of all, what is al-anfus? What is a nafs? What's the soul? A nafs is two things together. Ar-ruhu wal-jasad. The soul and the body. The soul and the body together, we call it an-nafs. The soul and the body together, we call it an-nafs. We know what the body is. We know what the body is. And as for the soul, we don't know much about it. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Say the soul is from the affairs of my Lord. The soul is from the things that only Allah Azza wa Jal knows about. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. The nafs is made up of the soul and the body. Allah Azza wa Jal said that Allah Azza wa Jal causes the nafs to die. يَتَوَفَّ الْأَنفُسِ. However, we need to understand this word wafa, because it confuses people because they translate it directly as death. But that's not the meaning of al-wafa. And the meaning of al-wafa, very briefly, is al-istifa, which means for Allah to give you your appointed time. For Allah to give you your appointed time. And there are two kinds of al-wafa. Wafatun kubra and wafatun sughra. There is a major wafa and a minor wafa. The major wafa is death. This is your time limit after which Allah Azza wa Jal does not allow you to return to this earth. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow you to live anymore upon the earth, rather you go into the life of the barzakh. This is al-wafa al-kubra, the major ending of term, the major term end. Because al-wafa, it is the end of the term. It's when Allah Azza wa Jal gives you the end of your time. And as for al-wafa al-sughra, the small wafa, the mini term, it is the term that you are awake. It's the term that you are awake. Now this ayah is very strongly related to dream interpretation and we need it. So let's try to understand it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtiha. Allah Azza wa Jal causes the term to end of the people at the time of their death. Okay? So at the time of their death, their term ends. وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا. And Allah causes the term to end of the people who are awake when they have not yet died in their dream, in their sleep. فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ. So the one who goes to sleep, their soul detaches from the body. Not completely, because the heart is beating. And if you pour water on them, they will wake up. But the soul detaches somewhat from the body. And it goes up to the heavens. And Allah Azza wa Jal, if He decrees death, if He decrees that person is not going to wake up from their sleep, then Allah Azza wa Jal seizes this soul. فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتِ. The one that He decrees death for, this one is not allowed to go back to the body. And so the disconnect between the body and the soul, it becomes complete. It becomes complete. وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى, and he lets the other one go. إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى, for a fixed time. So now the person goes to sleep, what happens? The soul ascends to Allah Azza wa Jal. At the time that the soul ascends, all of the other souls are also ascending of the people who are asleep. Likewise, the souls of the people who have been kept, who have died and who have been kept by Allah Azza wa Jal. So there is a gathering of the arwah, there is a gathering of the soul with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does it happen? Allah Azza wa Jal knows best how it happens. We don't know how it happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how it happens. At this point, some of the souls that have come up from their sleep, Allah will decree them to die. They're never going to wake up again. So those people, what will happen is, Allah will keep their soul, and the other souls will be allowed to return. Of course, the soul will return back to the body in any case. When the body is placed into the grave, the soul will return back to the body in the grave, because of the hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu. This hadith of Al-Bara ibn Azib, in which he describes when the soul comes back to the body into the grave and the life of the barzakh. But why is this important for us? It's important for us because of a hadith narrated from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that he said, how strange is the dream of a man that he goes to sleep and sees something that he could never have imagined. So his dream becomes true, like as if someone took him by the hand. And another man sees a dream and nothing happens of it. So one man, he sees a dream, it becomes true, مثل فلق الصبح, like the rising of the sun. And the next man, he sees a dream and nothing at all happens. One man sees a dream, it becomes true, one man sees a dream, nothing happens. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Al-Ajab, how it's so strange, it's so ajib to see this. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said, أَفَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ بِذَلِكَ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, shouldn't I tell you why this happens, O Amir al-Mu'mineen? So he said, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfus hina mawtiha. He read the ayah. Then he said, so Allah Azza wa Jal causes all of these souls to die. Not to die, but I mean like some of them go to sleep and some of them die. So whatever they see in the heavens with Allah is a true dream. Whatever they see with the heavens with from Allah is a true dream. وَمَا رَأَتْ إِذْ أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَىٰ أَجْسَادِهَا, whatever they see when they are coming down back to their bodies, this is what? This is when the shaitan meets them in the heavens as they are coming down, the shaitan meets them, and the shaitan lies to that soul and tells that soul false things. So this is the false dream that the person sees. And this narration from Ali ibn Abi Talib, and you have to say it's not something that a person would report without having heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it appears to be fi hukm marfu'. And it has the ruling of a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, because it's not from mimma yuqalu bil-ra'i. It's not from something somebody can just guess. So the soul goes up. When the soul is with Allah, what it sees is true. وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى, Allah sends the other souls back. While Allah is sending the souls back, the shayateen come and they meet with those souls and they whisper to those souls and they lie to those souls, and this is the dream that is caused by the shaitan. So as the soul is coming back, the shaitan is whispering falsehood, and this is the false dream. So this now returns us back to our dividing dreams into three categories. The first category is a true dream that is from Allah. Now the first thing we have to mention about this is just because it is from Allah does not mean it's always a pleasant dream. Be careful about this, because this is one of the biggest mistakes people make. They believe that a good dream from Allah means a dream where I feel happy is from Allah, and a dream where I feel sad is from shaitan, and a dream where I don't know how I feel is from me. That's not the case. A person may well see a bad dream which is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. How does that happen? What do we mean? It's a true dream, but it has some negative things in it to wake you up, or to make you make tawbah, or to warn you about something that is going to happen. For example, a person sees that their house is burning down, for example. This may be from the shaitan. The shaitan is just whispering to you, oh, your house is going to burn down, your house is going to burn down, your house is going to burn down. And so you become scared, and then you realize it's just a lie from the shaitan. But it could also be a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the two do differ, and the scholars do mention a difference between the two. Now, dream is not easy. It's not easy to tell the difference between the two. But there are differences between the two. One of the main differences is that the dream from Allah is not fear. It's not a nightmare. It's not something that grips you. A dream from Allah is a warning. It's a truth. So first of all, when you wake up, you remember it very, very clearly. And you remember features from it that you think are very important. And you don't wake in a state of fear. It's not a nightmare where you just become so scared and so shaken that you feel, you know, like you feel like terrified. But something where you see something of benefit to you. It may be something that you see which is good, and this is usually the case. Al-Mubashirat, something good. It may be something you see which is not good, but it's got a warning for you. It's got a lesson for you. You understand. For example, I'll just give you an example, and it's, again, we have a little less time, but I'll just give you an example. A person sees themselves being chased by a lion, and they wake up shaking, terrified, you know, like, I'm so scared, I saw this. This is from the shaitan. This is from the shaitan. There is no lesson, there is nothing to learn, there is nothing, you know, like, beneficial in it. A person sees themselves being led towards the hellfire. And they see themselves being led towards the hellfire by a particular thing. For example, they see the music they are listening to, the singer that sings the music is leading them to the hellfire. This is much more likely to be a dream from Allah. Why? Because there is a lesson in it. There is a benefit in it. There is a wisdom in it. You can understand that Allah is telling me that if I keep on listening to this music, it's going to lead me to Jahannam. Because I see myself in the dream, and I see myself following the person who is singing, and I see myself following them into Jahannam. So even though the second dream is more scary than the first dream, but the second dream you can see there is a wisdom, you can see there is a benefit, you can understand that there is a message to be had from that. Whereas just waking up terrified in a cold sweat, you know, like that I'm being chased by something, there is no benefit in this. So this is how you can tell the dream that is from Allah than from the dream that is from the shaitan. Of course, the overwhelming number of dreams that are from Allah are aslan good dreams. They are themselves good dreams. As for the dreams that come from yourself, the easiest way to tell them is that they are very confused. They have no clear message. They have no clear points that you can hold on to. You can't remember them very well. You slip from one to the other to the other. And they usually relate to things that you have been thinking about in your daily life. For example, You know, you're worried about your car, you have to repair your car, you have to repair your car. So then you see a dream, you are repairing your car, and you see another dream, you're doing something else. Now this is related to the things that you are worrying about during that day, or the things that you're thinking about during that day, and this is adghathu ahlam. This is the mixed up dreams of the self. Now if you're listening carefully, you'll realize that it's not so easy to tell the three apart. There are guidelines. How do we know it's not so easy? What about the dream of the king at the time of Yusuf? The dream of the king at the time of Yusuf, alayhi salam, when he said, I see, ni ara sab' baqaratin siman. I see seven fat cows. And so on to the end of the dream. What did the people around him say when he said this dream? قَالُوا أَضْغَاثُ أَحْلَامُ. They said, this is just your mixed up head. This is not a true dream. This dream was a true dream. But because the people were not experienced in it, they said, أَضْغَاثُ أَحْلَامُ. It's just mixed up. So that shows to us it's not so easy, it's not the easiest thing. It requires experience, it requires sabr, it requires understanding. But generally the dream that is from Allah, you first of all wake up feeling that it is significant. Not always, but usually. You wake up feeling that it is significant. You feel like this is important, I need to relate this dream to somebody. You also, about this dream, you also remember it clearly. Now you may remember a nightmare clearly, you may remember anything, but generally the dream that is from Allah, you have a clarity that you don't have with the other dreams. And generally you see a benefit in it, or a point, or there is something that you feel needs to be understood. Okay? So this is the dream from Allah. The dream from the shaitan, it has no benefit in it, no good in it, no wisdom in it, it's just fear. It's just fear. And the dream that is adghafu ahlam, usually it's something you're thinking about that day, or something that's been on your mind, and it's your own mind is just replaying things in your head. And this is a mu'jiza, a miracle from Allah Azza wa Jal. Because if we think about it, ikhwan, and we think about what scientists and psychologists and all these, you know, biologists and various people and, you know, philosophers and all these people who talk about the human body and the human mind, how they talk about dreams, none of them understand this. Every single one of them speaks about adghathu ahlam. It's your brain is replaying what it wants, it's what you hope for, it's what you fear, but they haven't understood that there are three kinds of dreams. And each one of these kinds of dream has an etiquette, ikhwani. Each one of these kinds of dream, it has an etiquette. Now I'm not going to speak too much about the etiquettes because we're going to run out of time. And I want to talk about the interpretation. But briefly, there are etiquettes. With regard to the good dream, the Prophet ﷺ instructed us, only tell it to the one who you love. Why should we only tell it to the one who we love? Do we not remember the story of Yusuf? What did Ya'qub say to Yusuf? La taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatika fayakidu laka kayda. Don't tell your brothers about this dream because they're going to plot against you. So if you go around saying, I saw the Prophet ﷺ and he told me that I'm going to learn Islam and I'm going to teach it to people and I'm so happy, you're going to get hit by so many times the evil eye, you're going to be like a target at the shooting range. Just getting hit one after the other, after the other, after the other. By jealousy, hasad, ayn. By the plots of people. So who do you tell your dream to? You tell it to the one who you love. The one who loves you, the one you love him. Someone that you have a close relationship. Someone that you don't fear their eyes. And someone who has the knowledge to be able to help you with it. There are two types mentioned in the hadith. One is that you relate it to an-nasih, to a person who can give you advice. This person may not be a mu'abbir, they may not be an interpreter of dreams, But they can give you advice. Sometimes people relate dreams to me, and I say to them, I'm not a mu'abbir, I don't interpret dreams. But I will give you advice. I will tell you, I think this is a good dream, or I will tell you, go to this sheikh, or I will tell you, don't worry about it inshallah, don't think about it again, or I will tell you, this is from shaitan. Yani somebody gives you advice. Or somebody who is an alim in this science, who can interpret it for you. So in some ways we can divide that into three people. Either you tell it to somebody who you love, or you tell it to somebody who can give you advice, or you tell it to somebody who can interpret it for you. But you don't put it on Facebook, because otherwise you're going to bring yourself a lot of negativity out of that dream. The second type of dream is the dream that comes from the shaitan. What about this dream? Don't tell anybody about it. فَلَا يُحَدِّثُ بِهِ أَحَدًا. Don't tell anybody about it. Seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan. Spit three times to your left hand side. Turn over and sleep on your other side. If it really scares you, get up and pray two rak'ah. These are all etiquettes, and inshallah I'll tell you where you can find these later on, but these are etiquettes of the bad dream. Now, with regard to the good dream, then good dreams are of two basic types. Now we're going to get into the interpretation. True dreams are of two basic types. The first one is a dream that simply comes true. The first one is a dream that simply comes true. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that when the hour comes, when the hour comes near, there will almost not be any dream except that it comes true. This hadith is narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And the wording of the hadith is, إِذَا اقْتَرَبَ الزَّمَانِ, when the time comes near to يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, when the time to يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ comes near, لَمْ تَكَدْ رُؤْيَا الْمُؤْمِنِ تَكْذِبْ, the dream of the believer will almost never lie. وَأَصْدَقُكُمْ رُؤْيَا أَصْدَقُكُمْ حَدِيثًا, and the most truthful of you in dreams is the most truthful of you in speech. So the first kind of dream is what? It is a dream that simply comes true. You see yourself making hajj, what happens? You make hajj. And from the Quran, this is one of the two dreams that Yusuf alayhi salam interpreted in the prison. One of the people saw what? He said, I see myself, أَعْصِرُ خَمْرًا, I see myself pressing wine. The other one said, I see myself carrying bread on my head and the birds eating from it. So the first dream was a dream that came true. He saw himself pressing wine and he pressed wine. Bear in mind that Ibn Mas'ud said neither of those dreams were actually true, and in fact, both of those dreams were made up by the people in the prison in order to test Yusuf's knowledge, but that's a separate issue. Whether that's true or not, it doesn't matter. Ibn Mas'ud, it's narrated from him that he said that neither of them saw a dream, but they invented the dream in order to test Yusuf's knowledge. In any case, whether that's true or not, one of those dreams came true. Like the dreams the Prophet ﷺ used to have. It came, مِثْلَ فَلَقِ الصُّبْحِ, like the rising of the sun. The dream, you see yourself pressing wine, you press wine. You see yourself making hajj, you make hajj. You see yourself traveling to a certain country, you travel to that country. And the nearer we get towards يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, the closer those dreams will become to being the majority. Yani they will become the majority of dreams. Such as the Prophet ﷺ said, the dream of the believer will almost never ever lie. Yani almost every dream the believer sees will come true. When the time comes towards Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that's because that time will be an extremely difficult time. And a time of where people will be very, very scared. And a time where people will have very little information. And a time when Islam will be gharib, Islam will be strange. Therefore, Allah Azza wa Jal will give a karama, He will give a blessing, a miracle to those people of being able to see true dreams in order to give them some comfort during the severity of this time. So this is the first kind of dream. The second kind of dream is what we call ru'ya ramziya. A dream of symbols. Like the man who saw himself carrying the bread on his head. Did he carry bread on his head? No. He was crucified and the birds ate from his dead body. So he did not, what he saw in his dream, or what he related to Yusuf, did not happen as he saw it. But it was symbolic. And this is also difficult. How do we tell between a dream which is real and a dream which is symbolic? For example, you see yourself making Hajj. It may be that you make Hajj. And it may be other things as well. It may be other things as well. Because there are several things that Hajj is symbolic of. Hajj has several symbolisms. From those is the adhan. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Give the adhan to the people to come to the Hajj. So perhaps a person will see themselves making Hajj, and this means that they will give the adhan. For example. So there is a difference between this one and between this one. One of them comes true, and one of them is symbolic of something else. Now it's very important that we understand one more point when it comes to dreams, is that the interpretation of dreams is a very serious thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the greatest of lies, akdhabul kadhib, or min akdhabil kadhib, وَأَفْرَ الْفِرَىٰ, and the worst of falsifications is for a person to invent something that they saw in their dream that they didn't see. For someone to lie about something they saw in their dream that they didn't see. Why? Because what are you lying about? You're lying about a piece of prophethood. You're lying about the only part of prophethood that remains on this earth. So lying about it is afra al-fira. It is the worst of lying, wa akdhabu al-kadhib, and the worst of lies. And you're lying about something which could affect a person's, yani people's lives, how people see you, people's interactions with you. Of course it doesn't make the halal haram and the haram halal. Because we don't interpret dreams, or we don't use the interpretation of dreams to make halal haram or haram halal. The religion of Islam is complete. الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. Today the religion is complete. There is no nothing new. No one is going to come to you in your dream like some of the Shia and the Mutasawwifa say. That someone comes to you in your dream and he says you don't have to pray anymore. Allah has lifted the prayer from you. This is not the case. Nothing in your dream can make the halal haram or make the haram halal. Rather, the dream is only al-mubashirat. Telling you something that will happen, or giving you some advice, or giving you some warning about something. So we learned that these true dreams, these have these two divisions, reality and symbolic, a real dream and a symbolic dream. So now we need to understand how we, or how the people of knowledge, interpret these dreams and how they understand these dreams. So the first way, and again I'm going to summarize because we have so much to cover and I want to do it as a course, but just like to get you interested in the topic. The first way is analogy to parables from the Quran and the Sunnah, or from well-known sayings and poetry. So this is one of the major ways that we interpret dreams. This is symbolic dreams. So we interpret the symbolism in the light of the Quran and the Sunnah. Bearing in mind what I was about to say before, and I didn't make my point, was that it is a serious matter. Because Yusuf said to the two people in the prison, قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ, the matter that you have sought a fatwa on has been decreed. Notice that Yusuf called dream interpretation what? Fatwa. Meaning that interpreting a dream is exactly the same as giving a fatwa. If you're not qualified to give a fatwa, you don't give a fatwa. And if you're not qualified to interpret a dream, you don't interpret a dream. So now down to the basic methods. Number one, analogy to something in the Quran, or something in the Sunnah, or something from the common sayings and poetry. Number two, by analogy to objects or situations from our daily experience. And number three, taking meanings from words and names of persons and objects that appear in the dream. Number one, qiyas. Notice two of these are qiyas. Making analogy, looking for similarities. Okay, Hajj is mentioned in the Quran. How is Hajj mentioned in the Quran? What is associated with Hajj in the Quran? What parallel can I make with Hajj in the Quran? How can I relate it to something from the Sunnah? Making an analogy between the Quran and the Sunnah and between what has been seen in the dream. Number two, something from our daily lives. And something, instead of from the Quran and the Sunnah, something in the dream that relates to something that is in our daily lives, a tangible object. And number three, relating to the name or of the place or the person. For example, you see yourself outside of the door of Abu Hashr. You see yourself outside of the door of a man whose name is Abu Hashr or Abu al-Hashr. Al-Hashr in Arabic, it means the resurrection. So it may well be that this dream that you are relating, it doesn't relate to that man, but it relates to the resurrection, because his name is resurrection, or his name in Arabic has multiple meanings, and one of the meanings is the resurrection. In one dream, it's narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding a man who used to sell dates. And I think if I remember rightly, his name was Ibn Tab. And Taba in Arabic means to become pure or to become good. So here you have links between the names of things and between what you see in your dream. So these are three of the main points. There's a very important point before we come on to examples. There's a very, very important point to make before I give you an example of each one. And that is that dreams differ from person to person. And I'm going to tell you a beautiful story. And if I remember rightly, and I won't quote exactly, it was from one of the tabi'een, it might have been Ibn Sirin. A man came to him and said to him, I see myself making the adhan. What did he say to him? He said to him, you're going to go to Hajj, inshallah. You see yourself making the adhan, you're going to go to Hajj. Another man came, he said, I see myself making the adhan. What did he say to him? He said, you're a thief. By mushkil. This one is going to Hajj, this one is a thief. How do we know? First of all, we said that Hajj is associated with the adhan. وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. Give the adhan for the people to come to Hajj. This is an analogy with the Quran, right? Give the adhan for the people to come to Hajj. This man came, he says, okay, you're going to go to Hajj. The next man, the adhan is also mentioned about a thief. In Surah Yusuf, فَأَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنٌ أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. Then the muadhin called out, O people of the caravan, you are thieves. Type, which adhan is for which person? How did this tabi'i distinguish between this person and this person? By knowing the person themselves and their situation. Because dreams change according to a person and according to their circumstances, according to their piety. So a pious man comes and says, you know him to be a pious, religious person, I see myself making the adhan, inshallah you're going to go to Hajj. This person comes, who is, known for doing every kind of cheating and lying and stealing, and he says, I see myself making the adhan, you're a thief. How do you tell the difference? By the person. So it's not possible, anytime you read a book that says, and the adhan means Hajj, this is not true. Or anytime you see that milk means knowledge, it doesn't work like that. It's dependent on the person. It's dependent on the circumstances. That's why when you hear the scholars of Islam interpret a dream, you hear them ask the person, are you married? Do you have this situation? Do you have any children? Is this your situation? Are you struggling with something at the moment? They get information so they can see which of the possible answers. If you've ever looked at a dream interpretation book, you see something like the adhan, and it's mentioned like 15 things. Hajj, calling out, being in charge of people, being above your people, that you will have a voice that will be heard, that you will get some power, that you will get some control over people, that you will do this, that you will build a masjid, that you will be a da'iya to Allah, that you will learn beneficial knowledge and teach it. Which one? Each one of them has a reference from the Quran and the Sunnah. But at the same time, it also depends on the circumstances of the person. And this is where the gift comes. This is where we get out of the science and into the gift. Because the people who have the gift from Allah, they instinctively know which of those many things applies to the person. Tayyib. Let's take some examples of these different things. So for example, let's take an analogy of the Quran. Somebody says, I've seen in a dream a rope. And I am holding one end of the rope, and my friend is holding the other end of the rope. Taib, do we have something from the Quran where a rope is mentioned that we can give it an analogy? Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah and don't be divided. So a rope could be a promise, or a contract, or a covenant, because this is what it is used for in the Quran. Does that mean that's the answer? No, that doesn't have to be the answer. But we just want to give one example. Somebody sees a rope, so this rope can refer to a covenant or a promise, because Allah said, وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. طيب. A person sees themselves drinking from a vessel. Do we have any mention of vessels? Many, too many, that's the problem. But let's just give you one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, رُوَيْدَكَ سَوْقَكَ بِالْقَوَارِيرِ. Be gentle with the fragile vessels. What's he talking about? Who are the fragile vessels? Women. So now a vessel might represent a woman. Because the Prophet ﷺ described women as being fragile vessels, qawarir, yani like crystal glasses, vessels. So if somebody sees qawarir in his dream, like a fragile, like a glass vessel or a crystal vessel, then it may be that this is relating to a woman. It may be relating to something else, because these are mentioned many times in the Quran and the Sunnah. But I'm just showing you how they make analogies between the one. Somebody sees themselves in a dream and their hands are long. Their hands are very long, and they have very long hands. This may mean charity, giving charity. Why? Because the Arabic saying, the well-known Arabic saying, when you say yaduhu tawila, his hand is long, it means he is charitable. We could make an analogy with something that we know of. For example, somebody says, I see a star in the sky and I'm following that star. That star could be a scholar, because the scholars are a means of guidance, like the stars are a means of guidance. The scholars are a means of finding your way, like the stars are a means of finding your way, for example. So here we could compare it to something in our lives, some sort of facts. And we could relate it to words. For example, what about if a person says, as an example, I saw myself in a dream at Brother Salim's house. At Brother Salim's house. So the word Salim in Arabic, it means safety. To be safe. Salamak Allah, you're safe, you're Salim, you're Salim, you're okay, you're not going to be harmed. So it could be that a trial is going to come, but Allah is going to save you. So the point is that, on the last one that we do sometimes, by inversion. So fear might mean security. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal says, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. Allah will replace their safety with, Allah will replace their fear with safety. Allah will replace their fear with safety. So this is inversion. Some of the scholars mention other ways, like breaking down Arabic words into letters, and then each letter goes to the... But we don't think that this is a very reliable way of doing dream interpretation, because this way is, it becomes like what magicians do, and it becomes like some secret science that nobody can understand. I don't think, except in maybe some rare circumstances, that it's appropriate to play with words, like they say that sauda or sauda means su and da, an evil medicine or an evil sickness, because su means evil and da means sickness, and when you put them together it makes sauda, which is black, and so black means sickness. This is like getting very difficult to interpret. Rather, more than that, basically you have analogies from the Quran and the Sunnah, and from poetry and well-known sayings, and then you have analogies with things we see, like the stars, we know what they mean, the sun, the moon, we know what it is. For example, you know, you or a person's name, like you see yourself with a person called Salim, or for example, there is a narration, I believe, about Abu Bakr, that he was seen in a dream shackled, yani chained, outside the house of Abu al-Hashr. And it was said about this that it means that his religion will be kept safe for him until Yawm al-Qiyamah. So you have like relating to people's names. There's no doubt that, as we said, the dream is affected by the dreamer and the environment. A dream may have a different meaning during summer than winter, and a different meaning in times of peace than in times of war. Because of the different circumstances that a person finds themselves in. However, what isn't true is that there is no evidence that dreams vary based on when you have them. The Prophet ﷺ used to ask his companions about dreams after Fajr. But there is no evidence that a dream after Fajr is more truthful than a dream after Isha, or that a dream in the middle of the night is a lie and a dream at the end of the night is the truth. None of this has any evidence for it at all. Rather, what we say is that dreams at any time can be true and dreams at any time can be false. However, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is that he used to ask his companions about their dreams after Salatul Fajr. So what is the basic principle or the basic procedure? The person listens to the dream, they take the elements of the dream that they think they have useful meanings. Each useful element is interpreted according to an ayah from the Quran or hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, or poetry, or a tangible object, or somebody's name, any one of the acceptable ways. And then all of the elements are merged together to bring the whole meaning of the dream. If the dream carries multiple conflicting meanings, so you end up with a meaning that is, let's say, positive, and another meaning from a couple of elements that seem to be negative, then you select the meaning that agrees better with all of the relevant factors, with the person's environment, the person's piety, the person's situation, and you select which one goes better with that. And the interpretation is related to the dreamer's social status, physical condition, appearance, and so on. So hopefully that has explained the basic principle. We look at all of the elements. This is when the dream is ramziya, when the dream is symbolic. When the dream is true, you don't need to interpret anything. It just comes true. When the dream is symbolic, what happens? You take each symbolic element, you interpret it in a valid way, you put them together to make a narrative, and you relate it to the person's environment, to the person's status, to the person's religion, to the person's, you know, appearance and all of that, until you bring something which matches. And that is something which is a gift Allah Azza wa Jal gives to whomsoever He wants from His Ummah, or from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I wanted to give you some examples, if we can, one or two examples. Before that, what we wanted to cover is the qualities of a person who interprets dreams. We mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ told us that the most truthful of us in dreams will be the most truthful of us in speech. Therefore, the first of the qualities of the dream interpreter, after piety and righteousness, should be truthfulness in speech. If you want to be truthful in interpreting dreams and in seeing true dreams, then you should be truthful in your speech. You should have good knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah. You should be well acquainted with the interpretations of the Sahaba and the major scholars. Now be careful, because everybody knows that, for example, Ibn Sirin was a major figure in dream interpretation, but the book which is attributed to Ibn Sirin is a fabrication. This book, which is Ibn Sirin's interpretation of dreams, is a complete fabrication. And it contains many evil things in it, many things which contradict the Quran and the Sunnah. So be careful about just picking up a book and saying this is Ibn Sirin's interpretation, for example. Rather, what you should do is, you should be well acquainted by reading, for example, the chapter of dream interpretation from Sahih al-Bukhari, chapters from Sahih Muslim, reading well-known books of scholars, understanding the various ahadith, looking at the dreams in the Quran. We don't even have time to even cover the dreams in the Quran and the Sunnah. And from each of these, you develop your skill. That doesn't mean you'll be given the gift, but at least you develop as much skill as you can up to a point. Then you work on being truthful and righteous in your speech, and you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless you with knowledge that will benefit you. You should be a person of wisdom, a person of mercy, and a person of concern about others' well-being. So many times, you know, what did we say? The Prophet ﷺ told, relate the dream to the one that you love. You know, if a person just wants to interpret dreams so he can sit in front of the people and he can have a microphone and he can be, you know, like in control of people, and he can say, yeah, you know, you're going to do this tomorrow and you're going to do this tomorrow, your business is going to fail and you're going to be rich, and then this person will never succeed. Rather, a person wants to care for the people. He doesn't want to show off. He doesn't want to tell people about the good dreams that happened to him. What he wants to do is he wants to just help people to do the right thing and give them the best advice that he can. And a person should be mature and experienced. He should have the maturity of knowledge and be able to choose what to say and what not to say. Because not every dream should be interpreted. What are you going to do? And this is a true story that happened to one of the scholars. And I think it's a beautiful story, so I'm going to kind of come to my conclusion. I'm going to tell you about it, inshallah. A man came to one of the scholars and he said, who interprets dreams? He said, Sheikh, I've seen a dream. He said, Sheikh, I've seen a dream. So he related the dream to the Sheikh. The Sheikh said, it's khair, inshallah. It's good for you, don't worry about it. Notice the Sheikh, he didn't interpret the dream. He said, it's okay, it's good for you. The man said, tell me what it is. He said, leave it, don't worry about it. It's good for you, inshallah. He said, Sheikh, tell me what it is. He said, leave it, it's okay, inshallah, khair, it's good for you. Then maybe, he swore by Allah, or he forced the Sheikh one way or another. Maybe he said, Billahi, I ask you by Allah, tell me what it is. The Sheikh said, you will die after 30 days. Or you will die within 30 days. Mushkila. Now the man thinks he's going to die. Khalas. Allahul Musta'an. He's crying, he's distraught, he's telling that his life is like this. Oh my, what will I do? Why? How will I die? So many musibah, so many problems for him. When what happened? The Sheikh just said, leave it, it's good for you, inshallah. What will happen to you? It will be khair, don't let it worry. But when he pushed him, he said, okay, the dream is you're going to die in 30 days. So he became so upset, he went to another Sheikh. And he said to the Sheikh, and I'm recalling as best I can because it was a brother who told me about this, who knew the story. He went to another Sheikh. And he said to the Sheikh, Sheikh, this Sheikh here told me I'm going to die in 30 days. He said, no problem, tell me the dream. Tell me the dream. So he told him the dream. He said, the Sheikh made a mistake. He said, Alhamdulillah, I'm going now, I'm fine. And he said, don't worry, Sheikh made a mistake. So he left. And the students sat around the Sheikh. They said, Sheikh, he didn't make a mistake. What we know from you is that this dream means he's going to die. You've interpreted this kind of dream before. Why did you tell him that the Sheikh made a mistake? The Sheikh got it right. He said, the Sheikh said 30 days, but the month it's going to be short. It will only be 29. And from the dream, he understood that this month it will only be 29 days. And the man died after 29 days. For he wanted to give him bushra, he didn't want to make him upset. So he said to him, no, the Sheikh made a mistake, because the Sheikh made a mistake in the number of days of the month, not in the fact that he was going to die. He made a mistake in the number of days of the month only. But you see the wisdom, you see the hikmah, that you don't say everything to everybody. And not everybody who comes to you with a dream, and sometimes people come to me with ruqya dreams, and I don't interpret dreams. I tell them I don't interpret dreams. They come to me with dreams that relate to ruqya. And sometimes you can see the person is being attacked in their dream, and something bad is happening to them. But you don't say to them, oh subhanAllah, the shaitan has overcome you, your life is going to end, I'll start, this whole thing has happened. Say to them, inshallah, look, there might be a problem. Do read your Quran, do your ruqya, you'll be fine, inshallah. You have to choose what you want to say. And finally, a person should be humble before Allah and grateful for the knowledge that they have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person should be a person who doesn't rush. A person who inquires about the person who is asking. A person who isn't frightened not to interpret. It's mentioned from Ibn Sirin that they would come to him with 100 dreams and he would only interpret one of them. And Ibn Sirin, one of the greatest interpreters of dreams in the history of Islam, and they would come to him with dream after dream, he would only interpret one or two. Because not everything and not everybody has to speak about every issue. And likewise, if he sees something where he should advise the dreamer, then he should take the opportunity to give this advice. And he should give the interpretation he thinks is true, not cover something up and give a good interpretation for a bad dream. He should guard the dreamer's secrets. One of the scholars said, who interprets dreams, he said, be careful what you relate to me. Because you relate to me something and it's like a window into your life. And you be careful, you're narrating something, yani don't be quick, yani you're narrating something to me, it's like you're opening a window. So just like the topic of ruqya, likewise, in dream interpretation, you have to conceal what you hear from people. And likewise, a person should not become proud of themselves and believe that they have all of the skills and all of the abilities and I can interpret any dream, just like Yusuf, give me any dream, I will interpret it for you. No, a person should remember, وَمَا أُتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. You've only been given a very small amount of knowledge. Some people, I think it's important to mention that some people talk about seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream. Just very briefly, and I've talked about this in some other lectures, but just very, very briefly. If you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream, then you have truly seen him. As long as you see him in his description that he was known by. So a man comes to you and says to you, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a dream. Say, okay, how did you see him? Say, I didn't see him, he was behind a curtain, but I knew it was him. La, this is not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man ra'ani fil manami faqad ra'ani. Whoever sees me in a dream has truly seen me. Not the one who hears me, not the one who thinks it's me. Number two, somebody says, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dream. Okay, describe him to me. No problem. He was wearing a suit and tie, clean shaven, short hair. I knew it was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No. Only the one whose description is the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he is described in the sunnah, this is the only time you can accept that this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And finally, whatever the Prophet ﷺ says to you in this dream does not make haram halal or halal haram. And this is how the shaitan tests a person. They see someone who they think is the Prophet ﷺ. They don't know who the Prophet ﷺ is. أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. They don't know their messenger, so they deny him. They see someone they think is the Prophet ﷺ. And this person says to them, you know what you should do? You should go to this place and do this action which is not from the sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ does not tell the people to do evil. The Prophet ﷺ does not tell the people to do haram. But because they don't know their own Prophet, so they don't know whether they have seen him or when they haven't seen him. And it's mentioned about the famous dream interpreters from the Tabi'een and others, that when a person would come to them and say, I've seen the Prophet ﷺ, he would say, Sif li ma ra'ait. Describe to me what you have seen. Tell me the man you saw. Then I will tell you if it was the Prophet ﷺ or not. And this is an area of confusion that a lot of people have. Taib, we want to just give a couple of examples of dreams that were interpreted by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or by the companions, just so that we can just take an example of a dream. I'll just go to an example, inshallah, because I think it's just useful that we can just put it. You know, we can put it together, inshallah. Okay, so we'll take the dream of Abu Bakr and Umar pulling buckets of water. Ibn Umar reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I saw in a dream that I was standing over a well pulling out water from it for people to drink. Then Abu Bakr and Umar came. Abu Bakr took the bucket from my hand to let me rest and pulled one or two bucketfuls with difficulty, may Allah forgive him. Umar then took the bucket from Abu Bakr's hand, and in his hand it transformed into a very large bucket. I never saw among the people a man who could pull as well as him. He pulled so much water that the people brought their camels and camped around the pond, and when they left, the pond was still full and gushing. Try to think. This is how you do dream interpretation. Now you don't need anyone to interpret this, because we know the interpretation of the dream. So we don't need anyone to interpret it. But you try in your head to understand. So the Prophet ﷺ goes to a well, and he's pulling out buckets of water. Then he becomes tired, and Abu Bakr comes and takes the bucket from him. Abu Bakr only pulls one bucket or two buckets, and it's very hard for him to do. Then Umar takes the bucket, and the bucket becomes really big. And Umar very easily pulls bucket after bucket after bucket after bucket. And when Umar leaves the well, the people are all camped around the well with their camels and their... because it's become like a big pond. So what is the interpretation of this dream? The interpretation of this dream is the khilafah, or the rulership over the Muslims. So the Prophet ﷺ came and he was pulling over the buckets. Each bucket represents a year, wallahu alam. That each bucket represents a year of rulership over the Muslims, or a time of rulership over the Muslims. So Abu Bakr only ruled the Muslims for 2 years. And it was an extremely difficult time. And a time where Abu Bakr was mostly concerned with fighting the Murtaddeen, the apostates, and you know the issue of Musaylim al-Kadhab and all of these problems that were happening. So it was not a time when the Muslim army expanded greatly. Then Umar took over and was able to pull many, many buckets. Yani his reign lasted for a very long time. And during that time, the Islamic empire became bigger and bigger and bigger, until when Umar left it, he left it in very, very good shape, in a state where the people, the resources were plentiful, and people were able to take a great deal from it. There are many, many other dreams, but what I'm going to do now, because we kind of don't have any more time, we've taken enough time out, is what I want to do now is I want to recommend you a source where you can learn much, much more. So the source that I'm going to recommend, and it was one of the sources I used to prepare the lecture today, because I'm presuming here that I won't give you the Arabic sources, because it will be hard for you, but I'll give for you the English resource. There is a single book that is an amazing book in the English language that will benefit you a massive amount, and it's called The Dreamer's Handbook by Muhammad Al-Jibali. So Sheikh Muhammad Al-Jibali, he wrote this book. It's called The Dreamer's Handbook. It's part of a series. I think the series is The Inevitable Journey, and it's part of the series on the on death and the hereafter and so on. And it's called The Dreamer's Handbook, Sleep Etiquettes and Dream Interpretation in the Light of the Sunnah. And you can find everything that I said in this lecture pretty much, and even more in this book, including examples, a good dream dictionary of what things mean when you see them in dreams, examples of how to extract the meanings of dream from ayat and ahadith, dreams of the Sahaba, dreams of the Prophet ﷺ, dreams of the prophets in the Quran. You can find a lot more, and it's a very good place to start. In addition to this, I would also recommend that you read the chapters of dream interpretation from Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And you can find those, for example, on sunnah.com. So you finish with the Dreamer's Handbook, and then you go and you read the chapters on dream interpretation from Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And from there you'll find so much benefit, inshallah. Those of you who have some Arabic skills, you can dip into Fath al-Bari by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar and see how Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar explains the dreams that were found in this, that are narrated by Imam al-Bukhari. And likewise, you can dip into explanations and so on and so forth. It is an important science. There's a lot more we could have said, but I just wanted to kind of give you a taster of the importance of this knowledge. It's an important science. And it's something that everyone should take a little bit of time to understand. Even if you don't ever interpret a dream, but just even the etiquettes of knowing what to do when you see a good dream, what to do when you see a bad dream, what to do when you have a mixed up dream, And even these are of benefit to everybody, inshallah. So it's something that I would recommend you read the book. From this book, inshallah, read some of the ahadith, because the book mentions the hadith. So you can take those ahadith and read them in more detail, in context, in the books of hadith. And then from there, read some of the explanations, develop yourself, inshallah, and your knowledge on the topic. And from then, develop the skills and the qualities of the person who interprets dreams. Because these skills and qualities are beneficial to everybody, whether you interpret dreams or not. Knowing the Quran and the Sunnah, being able to compare things and analyze things, being able to be wise about what you say and what you don't say, having a care for people, these are qualities that everybody should have. And then from there, those who Allah Azza wa Jal gives the gift of dream interpretation to, then that is a gift that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala bestows upon the people that He knows best, who will be grateful for it and who will use it to the best possible way. So hopefully this has just been an introduction. It's a nice topic to start the Friday night reflections with. We're not going to continue with it, but perhaps we will be able to do a workshop on it in the future, inshallah ta'ala, with more detail. But inshallah ta'ala, we will just remind everybody, there will be no class next Friday. But after next Friday, yani from 2 weeks onwards, there will be a class every week. And 1 week will be Friday night reflections, 1 week will be the beautiful names of Allah. So the beautiful names of Allah will be moving from Springs to here next to Kalima, because it's just administrative wise and everything, it's just so much easier, inshallah, for us to be able to do it when we're just next to Kalima, inshallah. So hopefully this is clear for everybody. There's no class next week because of the holiday. We'll resume in 2 weeks' time, and every week we will have a different topic, inshallah. Please invite as many people as possible. MashaAllah, the masjid is big. We have room for lots of people. So try to invite your friends, inshallah. It's good for new Muslims because it's a general set of topics. It's good for people who are not practicing because it's very light. It's not heavy. We're not like going through, you know, like usul al-fiqh or something like that. We're just, you know, covering gentle, relaxing, interesting topics, inshallah. So it's good for non-practicing Muslims as well. And of course, for those people who want to develop their knowledge. And also, please keep an eye out for the essentials. Because I'm hearing that it's been approved, inshallah, by the Daira, by Awqaf. And inshallah, it's going to come soon. So keep an eye out for the essentials course. This will be on a Friday morning after Fajr. And it will be serious. Yani one full year of serious study, books, and so on and so forth, that we will complete, inshallah. And there will not be any repetition of the books that were covered in the last 2 years. So inshallah, it will be a brand new set of books and a brand new format, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wallahu a'lam wa salatu salam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.